Let's start in Ephesians chapter 1 as we continue in our series of studies on the fundamentals of right division. And in our last study, we saw that the main division in the Word of God is between prophecy concerning Israel and her kingdom. That has to do with what was spoken by the prophets since the world began. We find that phrase in Luke 1, also Acts 3. Since the world began, God speaking through the prophets, giving details of all these things. So the main division is between that and the mystery of the body of Christ. That's what God is building in this present age. It was kept secret since the world began. So you see the timeline up here on the board. The bulk of it concerns the king and his kingdom. How was promised and prophesied, then proclaimed in the gospel records, but he was rejected. But the kingdom was reoffered to Israel in early Acts. But they fall. They had rejected the Father. They had rejected the Son. It's when they reject the witness of the Holy Ghost, they fall. And there's a transition away. And now Paul's raised up, given the revelations of this age. We're in this parenthetical mystery time. God is building the body of Christ, which is neither Jew nor Gentile. It's a heavenly body. We're not given a position on the earth. We're not promised a kingdom on the earth. The kingdom that God's going to put on the earth has been postponed. But this age will end with the mystery of the rapture, after which God will resume His dealings with Israel. He said there were 490 years determined upon them. We know 483 years have been literally fulfilled. There's 7 years left to be fulfilled. And they're not being fulfilled now because we're in the mystery. But once this mystery ends, He goes back concerning that which was spoken by the prophet since the world began. Kingdom is once again proclaimed. And then you have the second coming of Christ to the earth to establish that kingdom. And so you see how the Bible, and this is a very basic way to understand rightly dividing the Bible. Time passed. That had to do with when God was dealing with Israel, and there was a distinction in God's dealings between Israel and the Gentiles. But now, and these are phrases in Ephesians 2 where Paul talks about this, but now, no difference, no distinction, one body, ages to come. Once again, there's distinction. And throughout all eternity, there will be distinction between the body of Christ, between Israel, between saved Gentile nations. Now, as we're going to see here in just a minute in Ephesians 1, it all will be gathered together in Christ. So there's one family of God, but there are distinctions within it. And so the bulk of the Bible concerns that which was spoken since the world began concerning the kingdom. But in Romans through Philemon, you have that information revealed to Paul concerning the mystery of this present age. Now, this main division reveals the twofold purpose of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Perhaps a better way to say it is that God has one great purpose that will be fulfilled through a twofold plan. God's one great purpose is to be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the great purpose in the Bible is not you and is not me. That's what modern Christians imagine. The great purpose is the glory of God. The Bible is a Christ-centered book. Of course, it's wonderful to be saved, but the purpose of our salvation is to glorify God. So the one great purpose is God's going to be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a twofold plan through which you accomplish this, and that twofold plan is implied in the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice heaven, singular. It becomes heavens after the work of the 6 days in Genesis 1. And there's a division in the heavens because of an enemy. And there has to be divisions there. But there was singular heaven. There will be in the future, in eternity, singular heaven. And that's another study for another time. But you see the heaven and the earth. That's what the Bible's about. What God's going to do concerning the heaven, concerning the earth. God will be glorified in heaven and earth. He's the Most High God. It says in Genesis 14, for an example, when Abraham's talking to Melchizedek, the Most High God is said to be the possessor of heaven and earth. Jesus said, after He rose from the dead, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Okay? So there's a purpose concerning heaven and earth. There's been a rebellion in both. There's been a rebellion in heaven. That was first. And then that came to the earth through Adam. But God will reconcile heaven and earth back to Himself under His government through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from Genesis 1 until Paul's ministry, God's revelation concerned His plan for the earth. That's the emphasis. You don't read about His purpose for the heaven in the Old Testament. Okay? Everything is about what He's going to do on this earth and bring a kingdom to this earth. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. It got that way by judgment. It had to do with Lucifer's rebellion. And you go through Genesis 1 and you ought to mark how many times it says, the earth, the earth, the earth, the earth. And all through the Old Testament, that's the emphasis on what God is doing. Now, one of the spiritual blessings, and we have many, Paul spoke of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 1, he gives 7 spiritual blessings that we have as members of the body of Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's more than 7, but there's 7 chosen here to look at, representative of all these blessings, and 7 is a perfect number. And there's 7 spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1, and one of those blessings is that God has made known to us the mystery of His will concerning heaven. Look in Ephesians 1, verse 8. Wherein, talking about His grace, He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. And understanding this truth, you see the wisdom of God in His plan for the ages. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now God has a purpose concerning the heaven. He also has a purpose concerning the earth. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one. This is where everything's headed. This is the ultimate goal. Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. See, there it is. Heaven and earth. He's going to gather it all in Christ, even in Him. Now notice, in whom, Christ, also we. Now here's the amazing thing. We Gentiles have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. That just simply means God has before determined our destiny. Before the world began, He has this purpose, and it's fixed and it's settled. Predestination has to do with God's purpose for us. People get real off track on these things, and they think that some are predestinated to salvation and others to damnation. Nobody in the Bible is predestinated to damnation. Okay? Everybody can be saved if they will trust Christ. Okay? But there's a purpose God has for the body of Christ that has been predestinated. Notice, according to the purpose of Him. There's that word again. His purpose. The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. This was all already planned before the world began. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And so now we have the full revelation. There was a mystery concerning His will. His will about what He's going to do on the earth, that began to be spoken immediately in Genesis. But His will concerning heaven was a secret. That's what mystery means, a secret, a divine secret that nobody can know till God reveals it. He's revealed it to us. The mystery of the body of Christ was not an afterthought. It was not plan B. I don't know how many times I've heard people make that false accusation that we who rightly divide think that after Israel fell, it caught God off guard, and now he says, well, I got to come up with another plan. Here's plan. God doesn't have a plan B. This was something he planned before the world began. Look in Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal, there's the word again, purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the context, he's talking about the mystery of the body of Christ. This is his eternal purpose. That means he had it planned before he ever made Adam. But he kept it hid within himself. Look back in verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. So God kept it a secret. And by the way, God knows how to keep a secret. Most preachers will try to tell you that the church, the body of Christ, is in the Old Testament. They are saying God doesn't know how to keep a secret. God said he kept it hid in himself. And if God keeps it hid in himself, nobody's going to know it until he reveals it. And he did not reveal it in the Old Testament. If he did, then just throw your Bible out because words have no meaning. I mean, the words are clear that this was something that God revealed through Paul. Now, it's not to magnify Paul. It's just to acknowledge the one God chose to reveal it to. And so, if you just take the words for what they say, it's very clear. Now, this thing of the mystery of the body of Christ is such a demonstration of God's great wisdom. Again, in Ephesians 1:8, he said he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In this present age, we don't need angels teaching us. We teach them. We're teaching them. They're looking at us and seeing the wisdom of God and what he's doing in the body of Christ. Paul said it's the hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2. The hidden wisdom that was before ordained, but now made known. Okay? Now, anti-dispensational preachers, and there are many of them, I hear preachers actually say, I hate dispensationalism. That's a foolish man right there that says such a thing. Because it's a Bible doctrine. We just read it. The dispensation, the fullness of time. God has given a progressive revelation, has dispensed truth progressively through the ages. Now we got a complete Bible, but there are changes as he reveals more. And anti-dispensational preachers accuse us of teaching God failed in trying to establish his kingdom through Israel. God didn't fail. Every dispensation in time ends in failure, but it's not the failure of God, it's the failure of man. How can you not see that every age, every dispensation in the Bible ends in apostasy? That's clear, and God brings judgment. Now, the final dispensation, the eternal state, will never end. There is no apostasy. But in time, you see God's demonstrating the failure of man. Israel failed. Now, they claim, these preachers that don't believe the Bible means what it says and says what it means, they claim Christ came to establish a spiritual kingdom. There already was a spiritual kingdom before he was born. There's an eternal spiritual kingdom of God. He didn't have to come establish that. It already existed. They say, well, he came to establish a spiritual kingdom, yet Jesus said to his disciples, this is how you ought to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the God of heaven establishing his kingdom on the earth. That's the kingdom of heaven. But they say, well, he came to establish a spiritual kingdom, and his promises to Israel are fulfilled spiritually today in the church. And that we're some kind of spiritual Israel. And all that is nonsense, because if you take the Bible literally, there must be a difference between Israel and the body of Christ. And when you rightly divide, you don't have to, you can leave everything just like it's written. You don't have to say all those things that were supposed to happen that didn't happen are now happening in a different way. No, they're going to happen in the future. He just put it on hold. If you don't rightly divide, you're going to have to make God out to be a liar. Because there's a lot of things that should have happened by this point that haven't. And the reason why they haven't is because He interrupted all of that. And He's doing something new. When He's done with this, then He'll finish everything else. The only way you can let the Bible just leave it as it's written is to rightly divide it. Otherwise, you're going to have to mess with the Word of God. And you should never do that, of course. Now, those that spiritualize the Scripture, they call it spiritualizing. In other words, here's what it says. Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David, a literal visible throne in Jerusalem. They say, no, He's in heaven sitting on the throne. The throne of David's not in heaven. Okay? When you spiritualize the Scripture, you're telling spiritual lies. Okay? That's not... The Bible is to be taken literally and plainly. If God uses a figure of speech, it'll be obvious. If He uses an allegory, it'll be obvious. The far majority of it is plain and literal. Now, Israel failed, not God. And He knew they would fail. He knew they would fall. And so He planned that through their fall, He would reconcile the world unto Himself. It didn't catch them off guard at all. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 11. Concerning Israel's fall. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, is the purpose of their fall just so that they'd be done with and out of the picture? No, because they're not out of the picture. God's going to fulfill everything He promised them in the future. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. And then he goes on to, let's just read on. For to provoke them to jealousy, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? There's coming a fullness for Israel in the future. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, and yet most preachers today want to minimize this. And say, no, Paul had no distinct office. Well, I don't know about you, but the 12 being sent to the 12 tribes is different than Paul being sent to the Gentiles. It's a different office, okay? He said, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. And even in Paul's ministry, he's trying to get a remnant out of Israel, some believing Jews, that would be put in the body. And still today, a Jew can be saved just like any Gentile. There is no difference. But all who are saved today are put in the body of Christ. We're not made Israel. We're not Israel. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? There's going to be a receiving of them. They're dead as a nation. Okay? And that nation over there right now, physical Israel, the state of Israel, it's not God's people. So you can send them money and you can pray for the peace of Jerusalem until you're blue in the face. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because there's never going to be peace in Jerusalem until the Prince of Peace comes. I mean, that's very plain in the Word of God. Right now, Israel is not God's people. An individual Jew can be saved and put in the body of Christ. Now, when the body of Christ is raptured out, He will bring Israel through tribulation. He will bring a remnant to repentance and give them the kingdom and all of that. But anyway, there's going to be a receiving of them. It'll be life from the dead. Israel will be resurrected as a nation. Look down in verse 32. When you start understanding these things about God's dealings with Israel and the Gentiles, if you get bored with that, it's because you've got a problem. Because when Paul talked about it, look how he responded. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all, and begins to worship God. I mean, after Romans 9, 10, and 11, dispensational passages, he wants to worship God when he thinks of these things. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, now this is what it's all about, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. See, people who want self-glory, they don't study the Bible. They're bored with the Bible. They're not interested in Bible doctrine. They're not interested in Bible study. That's why churches today are making it all about people and preaching self-help psychology instead of sound doctrine, because people don't care about the glory of God. They care about their own comfort and their own vainglory. But when you begin to concern yourself with the glory of God, and that is our purpose of existence, you'll get a great peace and joy and fulfillment in studying God's Word and understanding who He is and what His plan is for the ages. People want to go to church to find out who they are. It don't matter who you are. You don't want to know who you are. I'll tell you, it's not going to be pretty. There's not nothing in the... You check me. I've said this. Check me out on it. You find me one verse in this Bible has something positive to say about the flesh. It ain't there. That's fine, because when you realize what you are, then you'll quit trusting yourself and trust the Lord. And when you get your eyes on Him and you want to glorify Him, then you'll have purpose and peace and fulfillment like never before. Now, some think, back in Ephesians 1 where we were, about the dispensation of the fullness of times, some think that that's referring to the kingdom age. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the note in the Scofield Reference Bible, it says something like that. I don't agree with that. It's not talking about... the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth is not the ultimate goal. Because even that ends in apostasy. Can you imagine that? Jesus reigning on the earth. And at the end of it, a bunch of people rebel against Him. Read it in Revelation 20. Okay, so that's not the end all. Everything is headed to the eternal state. And His kingdom is forever, but there's a thousand years because there has to be one final battle. And then everything, then comes the new heaven, the new earth. The dispensation of the fullness of times is the eternal state after the creation of a new heaven and new earth, when the full purpose of what God revealed in time finally comes to fruition. The dispensation of the fullness of times. What was times for? What did God reveal in times? And it's finally going to come to fulfillment. So verse 10 of Ephesians 1 summarizes the goal of God's twofold purpose. He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. But in that unity, there's diversity, because He said things in heaven and things in earth. How many of you know there's a difference between heaven and earth? Okay, so just because it's all gathered in Christ doesn't mean it's all exactly the same. It's not all the same. Because Israel's place is on the earth and our place is in heaven. Now, Christ is central in all that God is doing. There's one family of God. Look in Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. When it's all said and done in eternity, there's one redeemed family of God. But there's still distinctions within the family. Just like the Osteen family is one family with five members. There's a difference between all of us. In the family of God, there's going to be a difference between Israel and Gentiles and the body of Christ. Three main groups with three spheres of blessing. The Bible speaks of a new heaven, new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Now, the twofold purpose concerns how God will reconcile the governments of both heaven and earth back to Himself. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Basically, the lesson this morning is telling you what the whole Bible's about, okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by Him, through the Lord Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, look at this now, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him. It's all going to be headed up under Him. There is governmental structures in heaven and earth. Okay? Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Things in heaven, things in earth. It's all by Him and for Him. He's before all things. By Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile, there has to be reconciliation because there's been rebellion, all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, this is not talking about universal salvation where even the devil himself ends up getting saved. Some people teach that, and that's heresy. He said things in earth and things in heaven. He didn't say under the earth. Right? In Philippians 2, even those under the earth will bow the knee before they're cast in the lake of fire. They'll be cast in the lake of fire. They're not going to be saved. I just made a video on this on YouTube about the lost not being annihilated. There are people that teach that when the lost are cast in the lake of fire, they burn up, destroyed, they're annihilated. They suffer conscious torment forever. And it's easy to prove from the Word of God. So, no, He's going to reconcile these things that He mentioned here, thrones, dominions, principalities, all that. See, there's been a rebellion. Hey, Satan and his angels are operating in heaven right now, not the third heaven, but the second heaven. And, you know, on earth, in case you hadn't noticed, that Satan is the prince of this world and the god of this world. Do you think the earth is under God's government right now? If it is, that's pretty sad. What this world looks like is nothing like it's going to look like when Christ reigns. He's not reigning right now on the earth. He's in control ultimately, but He's letting man have his way. He's letting the devil work. He's allowing these things for a purpose. There's coming a time when it's all going to be reconciled back to Him. Now, Israel is His vehicle to reconcile the government on the earth. The body of Christ is His vehicle to reconcile the government in heavenly places. Okay? That's the main thing you've got to understand, that there is a purpose concerning heaven and a purpose concerning earth. The first thing it said, heaven, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Now, He spoke of heaven first, but then He said nothing else about it and kept it a secret. Everything's about the earth. But this has got to do with the body, and this has got to do with Israel. Okay? The body of Christ is very different. The body of Christ is as different from Israel as heaven is from earth. Now, all things in heaven and earth will be in Christ. So you need to understand this, that all things, look, when it's all said and done, one family of God in Christ. You ever hear people say, because see, we believe that this present age began with Paul's ministry because he got the revelation of it. He got the revelation of the gospel, the grace of God, and the revelation of the body of Christ, and other mysteries corresponding. And people say, no, no, there were people in Christ before Paul. So what? That has nothing to do with the issue. Because you can only either be in Adam or in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. In Adam all die. In Christ all will be made alive. The redeemed are in Christ. Israel will be in Christ. Saved Israel will be in Christ. But they're Israel. What makes the body of Christ unique is it's neither Jew or Gentile. It's a spiritual one new man, new creature. Christ is the foundation and center of both. He is that chief cornerstone. In Ephesians 2, Paul talked about Christ being the chief cornerstone. Peter mentioned something like that in 1 Peter 2. And so He is the chief cornerstone of the whole household of God. But in that household, you have distinctions. Okay? So, anyway. God's purpose for heaven. Just a summary. Concerns the church, which is the body of Christ. Now listen, I can give you verse after verse after verse where the body of Christ is God's heavenly people. Paul said our conversation is in heaven. We're seated already in heavenly places. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. God never told Israel, set your affection on things above, not on the earth. We gave them land on the earth. Of course they had affection on the earth. But our position is in heavenly places. So Philippians 3:20, Ephesians 2:6, Colossians 3:1-4, and there are many others, but there are verses that we are His heavenly people. Now, this was B Before the world began, before the foundation of the world, it was before. But concerning the earth, it was since. It was from. In other words, God's purpose for us, it was something He planned before. But concerning the earth, it's always spoken of as being since the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Paul said, "Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." It was planned before the world began, but kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest. Romans 16:25. Look in 2 Timothy 1. So to understand this program concerning heaven, you're going to have to study Paul's epistles because that's where it's revealed. Okay? Paul's the only writer in Scripture who even talks about the body of Christ. No other writer even talks about it. That's not an opinion and that's not an interpretation. That's a Bible fact. 2 Timothy 1:8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own," what? "Purpose and grace," now watch it, "which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." What appearing? The appearing He made to Paul. Okay? Yes, He came into the world, was born into the world, but His appearing, He made an appearance, and it's called an appearance, when He saved Saul of Tarsus. And He made many appearances to Paul to give him revelation. "Now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." And Paul was greatly persecuted for this message. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And that form of sound words is inspired and preserved in Romans through Philemon. And we must hold fast to that, because that's what God is doing in this present age. It was before the world began, but is made manifest through Paul's ministry. We have been predestinated to be glorified with Christ and reign with Him eternally in the heavens. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we're going to get a body that is eternal in the heavens. We have to have that because that's where we're going to reign. There's not a verse Paul ever gave us about being on this earth. That doesn't mean we'll never come to the earth. It just means that's not our primary inheritance. All right, but God's purpose for the earth concerns Israel. Look in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. So again, for the heaven, it's the body of Christ. For the earth, it's Israel. His purpose concerning heaven was planned before the world began. His purpose for the earth is spoken of from the foundation of the world. This purpose for the heaven was a mystery, but for the earth, it was spoken through prophecy. Look at, and here's prophecy right here. Look at Isaiah 14. Of course, this deals with the fall of Lucifer and also the Antichrist, because it'll be Satan in the Antichrist. But notice in verse 24, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land." The Assyrian is the Antichrist. He said, "I'm going to break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot, Then shall his yoke depart from off them, Israel. His burden depart from off their shoulders. This, notice, is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole what? Earth. Here it is. This is the purpose. I'm going to break the Assyrian. I'm going to deliver my people. This has to do with my purpose upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? God will accomplish his purpose for both heaven and earth. Now, by Genesis 11, and you understand from Genesis 1 to 11, 2,500 years goes by. Okay? And God covers it in just 11 chapters. God gave up on the Gentile world. Read it in Romans 1. That's what he's talking about in Romans 1. How he gave up on the Gentile world because they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, and they turned to their idols. So he chose a man named Abram. So he rushes in the Bible. He just flies by the first 2,500 years and gets to Abram, and then it all slows down, and he deals with all the details of this man and his seed. And he makes Abraham a covenant that through him, he's going to make of him a great nation to be a blessing to the whole earth. They're going to have a land, and that land is right in the center of the earth. It's where God's going to put His throne. Christ will reign on the earth from Jerusalem over the whole world. So many, you go through the Old Testament and see how that develops with the covenants God made with Abraham and with Israel through Moses and with David and all of this concerning a kingdom on the earth. It was prophesied since the world began. The kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 25, was prepared from the foundation of the world. And that's what the rest of the Scripture. So through Paul, you get the revelations concerning heaven, the mystery. The rest of it is focused on the kingdom being set up on the earth. Israel will reign with Christ on earth over the nations. Now, almost done, but don't let me lose you. In keeping the body of Christ a secret, God was especially keeping it a secret from Satan. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. I think this might be where we end up here. Running out of time, as always. Thank you, sir. It's hard to talk about the whole Bible in one lesson, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak the wisdom of God, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world in our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan had no idea what God was going to do through the cross. Had he known it, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord. The prince of this world, Satan's the prince of this world. And there are other principalities, powers, and all that under his. He has the kingdoms of this world. There is spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, the rebellion against God's government began before He created Adam. And I believe that the creation of man was in response to that challenge of Lucifer and his rebellion. Because in Psalms 8, when it talks about how God made man, it had to do with stealing the enemy. Putting him in silence, so to speak. You can go back to Psalm 8, look out, time to turn there now. And I'm not going to, we're out of time, but I'm not going to deal with this right now. I recently dealt with this in my messages. You can go on YouTube and check it out if you weren't here. But we deal with what people call the gap theory and the fall of Lucifer. Very important to understand these things. Satan and the angels that followed him operate primarily in heaven. He's the prince of power of the air, spiritual wickedness in high places. Revelation 12 said they have a place in heaven, the second heaven, okay, not the third heaven where God's throne is. Heavens are not clean in God's sight, Job 15:15. That's why God did not say the firmament of heaven was good in Genesis 1:8. Everything else was good on those 6 days, but that wasn't good because that's where Satan and his evil spirits operate. When God created Adam, He commissioned him to subdue the earth. Okay? That means he has to conquer. So, He said that before the fall. There was already enemies, okay? Lucifer and his rebellion was before Adam. It was before the world began. So, God had a plan to reconcile that back to Himself. But from Genesis 1 up until the ministry of Paul, God's revelation concerned His purpose for reconciling the earth. So that was Satan's focus. Satan's always opposing what God's doing. God's whole focus was on the earth, and so was Satan's. When Satan had Christ crucified, he thought that would at least hinder, if not defeat, God's purpose for the earth. He killed the king of the Jews. He had no idea what all God had planned for that. With that. You know, Satan had usurped Adam's dominion on the earth. He became both the prince of this world and the god of this world. He did not know those wonderful things that were revealed through Paul concerning the cross and what was accomplished by the cross. The cross was prophesied. The full meaning and accomplishments were not. But by the cross, God would form a new group of believers with the purpose of giving us the high privilege of reigning with Him in heavenly places. There's coming a time where when Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven, that's where we come in, because we're going to take up those ranks. We're going to reign in heavenly places. That was His purpose before the world began, because that's when Satan's rebellion was, before the world began. All of this proves the gap theory, by the way. Okay, I don't understand, and I'm trying to be patient with people, I don't understand these dispensationalists that have such a bad attitude about that doctrine when the doctrine fits perfectly with dispensationalism. It's a dispensational doctrine. You know, quit listening to Henry Morris and study your Bible. You'll come out all right on it. But here's the thing. You understand that Satan is the great deceiver? He's such a great deceiver, he deceived himself. He entered Judas. He betrayed Christ. He wanted that to happen. And it defeated him eternally. And when God revealed how He's going to use the body of Christ to reign in heavenly places, you're talking about shame and disgrace. Satan hung himself. You have any idea what I'm talking about? You ought to get a real thrill out of that. Because the thing is, and by the way, you can expect some much opposition to what we're doing. If there's anything Satan hates, it's the mystery. Because it embarrassed him. He has a little bit of pride. Okay? Just a little bit. And God took the wise in His own craftiness and let the deceiver deceive himself. Satan was so focused on God's plan for the earth, and yet God revealed this great purpose for the heaven. And that purpose for the heaven is based on what happened through Satan having Christ crucified. Oh, I don't do that any justice, but it's amazing. That's the twofold plan. One great purpose. God will be glorified in heaven and earth. He's the possessor of them, heaven and earth, Most High God. Father,